Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together. Got joy in my soul. God is in control.
Again, tuned into, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr., and we do come to you live each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from Hopper Woods, Michigan. On tonight, we have none other than Deacon Marvin Cox. Again, he will be bringing tonight's message and word from the Lord. But as we know, he always shares with us an inspirational poem first. He's going to do the same thing on tonight. So please get your Bibles, your pen and paper ready so that you can be able to follow along as we get ready to go into another word from the Lord on tonight. We're asking for prayer. Before we go into prayer, I'm asking all listeners to touch and agree as we continue to lift up our brother Rob Mitchell, his mother, Darlene, who was rushed to the Henry Ford Hospital on yesterday with stage 5 kidney failure. And then last week, she was suffering with COVID, the COVID virus. So we want to continue to lift Brother Rob Mitchell up regarding his mother, Darlene, and also his son, Robert the Fourth, his son, who's getting ready to go on dialysis. Also, we want to keep in prayer my first cousin, Malachi King Jr. We want to keep him lifted up in prayer. We also want to keep lifted up in prayer my first cousin, Pastor Norman King, and his sister, my first cousin, Mary Ann King, and Aunt Tessie from Greensboro, North Carolina. We want to lift them all up in prayer. And all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land, whether we know them or not, continue to lift them up in prayer. We want to thank God for Deacon Robert Cox and his wife, Betty Cox, who is home recuperating and coming along well. So we just want to continue to lift her up in prayer, Sister Betty Cox. So again, the fervent prayers of the righteous avail as much. That's why it's important that we lift each other up in prayer. We don't always know the situation, but we thank God that he is in control and he knows all about every one of our situations. And he is a promise keeper. He said that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, we are healed by our faith. So we're going to go into prayer now. I'm asking our listeners, please pray with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, your son, we come once again on tonight. Give me your glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name because you're worthy of our praise. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth, that you have and hold all power in heaven and in earth is in your hands. You are in total control at all times, no matter what it looks like. We give you glory, honor, and praise for it in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come now asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Deacon Marvin Cox and his entire family, and every saved believer all over the land that are being faithful doers of your word and not just hearers only. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, because your word lets us know that all have sinned and come short of your glory. Even though we are saved in Jesus' name, we do sin. So that's why we're so grateful that we can come through Jesus Christ and be forgiven of our sins so that our work for you on earth would not be in vain. Heavenly Father, again, we lift up Brother Rob Mitchell, his mother Darlene, who is suffering with stage 5 kidney failure. She was dealing with the COVID virus on last week. And then we want to lift up his son, Robert. And then also we lifted up my cousins again, Malachi King Jr., cousin Pastor Norman King, Mary Ann King, my cousin's sister down in Greensboro, North Carolina. She is also my first cousin. Also, we lifting up Betty and Marvin Cox and all those that are sick and afflicted. Continue to touch, heal, and strengthen them as only you can so that after they are healed, they will not be afraid or ashamed to be a witness for you and let the world know that it was you, Heavenly Father, who have healed them, delivered them, and set them free, so that you will get the glory is our prayer in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy that you extend toward each one of us. In the name of Jesus, we pray and lift up all those that have breathed on tonight. Let them feel your peace, your joy, your strength, your comforting power as they go through the hour of bereavement, even on tonight around the world, all those that are suffering from bereavement and the loss of loved ones. Grant them peace, Heavenly Father. Let them feel your presence. Let them remember and know that earth sure has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Let them remember to look unto the hills from which cometh their help. Even as they go through the hour of bereavement, that you will still get the glory. It's our prayer in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for allowing our families to be able to gather together this week. As my oldest sister, our oldest sister from Massachusetts, Janice Nielsen, and her husband, Dale, and their daughter, Crystal, drove safely to Detroit, Holland, Michigan first, and then to Detroit. And we was able to fellowship and have a good time with them. So now they are traveling back to Massachusetts. So we ask that you would grant them traveling grace, that they would make it back safely and find everything well. We pray now, Lord, that you will move by your spirit through your word. Should there be any listener that's listening, whether by phone or through social media platform outlets, that they who are not saved, but will hear your word on tonight, they will open their own mouth and confess their sins. They will ask Jesus Christ, your son, to come into their hearts and save them. It's our prayer in Jesus' name that you get the glory. Continue to have your way through this worldwide ministry platform that you get the glory. It's our prayer in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, tonight's scripture food for thought comes to us saying, don't sacrifice your peace trying to point out someone's true colors. Lack of character always reveals itself in the end. Now that's powerful, but it's yet true. So I'm going to read that again. Tonight's scripture food for thought. Don't sacrifice your peace trying to point out someone's true colors. Lack of character always reveals itself in the end. I welcome all comments and feedback from all listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Please take note, I do not own the copyrights to any music or songs played on this worldwide ministry platform. Well, we are so excited about what God is doing through this worldwide ministry. Please make a notation that on next Thursday night, the 18th of August, Overseer Joseph E. Jackson will be bringing forth God's word. He is from Washington, D.C. Again, Overseer Joseph E. Jackson from Washington, D.C. He comes forth every Thursday night delivering a powerful word from the Lord. So he will be my guest on next Thursday night. So please mark your calendars so that you can tune in and be blessed by what God is going to say through him on next Thursday night. I don't have any announcements other than that. So what we're going to do right now, instead of going to a music break right now, I am just going to get ready to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox so that he can share with us another inspirational poem, and then he will go directly into God's word. So I pray that you, the listeners that have dialed in, and you that are listening through social media outlets around the world, that you have your Bibles, your pens, and paper ready to follow along as we go through God's word together on tonight. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Okay, Brother Brown, I thank you. I thank the Lord. I thank the listeners who faithfully tune in to hear God's word brought forth through me. I don't take it lightly because this is an awesome responsibility, and I try to live up to the standards that God will help me to live up to. Now, tonight's lesson and tonight's poem is basically coinciding one with the other. Now, the poem is one that you probably have heard me read before, but it's more than appropriate. I will explain it later on as I get into tonight's lesson. The poem is What Happened to Us. Back in the day, when everything used to be groovy, we had enough friends and relatives to film a Tarzan movie. Now our cast of hundreds is down to just a precious few. We don't know who's living next. Is it me or is it you? We would sometimes argue, sometimes we would cuss, but we never stopped coming around. So what happened to us? Over at Grandma's house where we used to congregate, we did the things that family do, and we stayed up pretty late. Through the best of times and the stormiest of weather, nothing could stop us from getting together. The fellowship we had was definitely a plus. Could somebody please tell me what happened to us? When it comes to forgiving, we all move too slow, holding on to things that happened 40 years ago. Anger is a trap. Don't allow yourself to get caught because it won't allow you to love me or see past my fault. If I offended you in any way, it's something that we need to discuss. That's one of the many things that has happened to us. We are getting a little bit older, and some of us live alone, and everybody and their mama, they got a cell phone. But we won't call, we won't even text. Better put the Lord on speed dial because we don't know who he's calling next. An overinflated balloon will eventually bust. Let's take our rumps off our shoulder and start being fair and just. Now, we used to be as close can be. Every time, Brother Brown, you took X-Lax, it worked the devil out of me. But now I work that devilment back at you. Our family is so torn apart. We need some crazy glue. Now, the only way that God can get our attention when we fuss is that it seems like someone is taken away from us. Now, I'm going to church this Sunday. If I have to bum a ride or catch the bus, I'm going to fall down on my knees. I'm going to ask the Lord, please, can you fix what happened to us? Amen. Now, I'll be reading to you from the King James Version of the Bible, the book of Micah, the 7th chapter, verses 6 and verses number 7. Therefore, the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemy are the men of his own house. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Now, it's an urgent plea that's going out tonight. And I just read unto you from the book of Micah, King James Version of the Bible. And may the Lord, the 7th chapter, the 6th and the 7th verse, may the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the doing of his word and his will, and may he edify our soul forever. And our topic for tonight is, Lord, only you can fix it. I'll repeat that again. Mm-hmm. Lord, only you can fix it. Now, in the book of Micah, it was telling us that the son, he dishonor his father, and the daughter dishonored the mother, as well as the daughter-in-law dishonor the mother. But it's basically telling us that a man's enemy is coming from his own home. So tonight we're going to talk about families. We're going to talk about the foundation of spirituality. We're going to talk about the families of the world. We're going to talk about how the role that families play in society. And if you look around you, you will see that our society is broken. Why? Because our families are broken. The love and the unity that existed once before is non-existent right now. Over in Ephesians chapter the 4th verse, it tells a parent, specifically the father, do not provoke your children to anger, to warn them in the admonishment of the Lord. And all of these years it took for me to really finally get a good understanding of what God's word was saying. It's telling the father, be careful how you treat your children. Because if we go back to Genesis and we look at Cain and Abel, we see one of them was treated well, the other one didn't find favor with his father. And he had what I call misdirected anger. And he had so much anger in him that he killed his brother. And now, if we go back to that particular verse, Ephesians, we find out that our children, they have what you would call misdirected anger. They're taking their frustrations because they cannot challenge their father or their mother. And it is suppressed. But then when it's released, then it comes out in a whirlwind. This world and this society is dealing with anger. We have road rage, whereas somebody cut you off and people want to follow them and they want to kill them instantly. And then they have classes now where when people's temper get out of control, they call it anger management. But if I was to relate to Micah, the 7th chapter, verses 6 and 7, if I could find a biblical parallel, whereas things started off good, and this is me talking, it's not the word, but it's in the word. And this is just my opinion. I'm creating a hypothetical situation with this particular situation that I'm going to explain to you. Now, could you imagine how Noah, the Lord blessed him to being in the ark of safety. He also blessed his wife and his sons and their wives, which were the family at that particular time of eight. Now, could you imagine, as I say, we're talking about the family tonight. Now, could you imagine them being afloat, how Noah told them, he said, come with me if you want to live, which is the same thing that Moses told the children of Israel. Come with me, flee from Pharaoh if you want to live. And I'm more than sure that he explained to the people that it's not going to be easy. But when you make a statement like that, you're fleeing from death, and death will definitely pursue you. So could you imagine that each one of Noah's son had a job to do? And they were on this ark, and they had all of these animals that they had to feed and that they had to attend to. And sometimes when adversity strikes us, after being delivered from a situation, we begin to look back and say to ourselves, maybe it was better if we were still in that situation, but we escaped with our lives. And could you imagine one of the son's wife telling them, I think that your dad put too much on you. You got to clean the cages. You got to feed the animals and everything. I think it's too much. I think you should say something to your dad about this. So the son went and said, I can imagine now. This is just my imagination. I can imagine him saying, Dad, why you put all of this stuff on me when the other son, all they do is just, you gave him what I consider to be a lighter task to do. And so when you question what your parents have told you, in a sense, you're dishonoring them because you don't trust their judgment. And so the wife, it says also in Micah, that the daughter-in-law began to despise the mother. Now, can you see this chain reaction taking place with this family? Now, we're going to speed it up. We're going to go to the last couple of years because they were in confinement for so long. Sometimes they began to get on one another's nerves. And when we get on one another's nerves, it's kind of hard to curb our enthusiasm about things. Now, as I said, we're going to bring it up to date. Now, if you think about COVID-19, at one time or another, our places to go out there in public were restricted. We couldn't go to restaurants. We couldn't go to sporting events. We couldn't go to nightclubs. We couldn't have large gatherings. We couldn't even go to funerals. And during that particular time, statistically, there were more divorces, more abuse, more turmoil in the family than it ever has been. Why? Because instead of not spending enough time together, family began to spend too much time together. So I'm just using these two examples to show that sometimes the internal bickering of a family, because we confined in a small area, it begins to grate on us. And so they'll say, Lord, only you can fix this situation. And so moving right along, we know that the family, our families, and it sickens me so much when I hear somebody declare that their family is nothing, when they denounce their family, when they assemble up hatred in their hearts against their family. Why? Because they're holding grudges. Why? Because of jealousy. Why? Because they say that the family then took something from them. But they go out there in the streets and that same buddy that they've been hanging around with will do everything and disrespect them And that's my boy George. So, Lord, only you can fix it. Now, we're going to move over to John, 1 John, the 4th chapter, the 20th verse. And it reads, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. So, Lord, you got to fix the love that is in people's heart, one for the other. You got to touch these families, Lord, because we're acting like, instead of acting like we love each other, we act beginning to act like foreigners and strangers. So, Lord, you're the only one that can fix that. Now, over in Psalm 133:1, it says, how good and pleasant is it when God's people live together in unity? I'm talking about that family. I'm talking about that family that's torn up. If you look at not only our spiritual leaders, look at our political leaders, look at our leaders, period. Some of them come from broken homes, and some of them come from bad situations, and they take this bad behavior out on the people. We're getting to the point where lying is the order of the day. Now, people will boast about a lie, or they'll frown up, and they'll denounce you when you tell them the truth. Now, we're going to move right along. As I say in Ephesians 6, chapter 4, verse, I read it to you once before. Say, Father, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So, Lord, you've got to fix the hypocritical ways of some of these parents. Whereas we do one thing and we tell our children not to do it. As a matter of fact, we severely punish them when we catch them with a pack of cigarettes. We catch them drinking wine or beer or doing things that we do, and we hide behind the fact when you're grown, you can do it, or I'm grown. That is no excuse. That's a weak excuse. If you don't want your children to do it, don't do it around them. Because, Lord, you can fix this, Lord. Let me set a better example to my children. Now, Proverbs, it says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Now, we're talking about that family. Now, why is it that I can go out and treat my buddies and spend hundreds of dollars having a good time with my buddies, but then my brother or my sister need $30 to get their prescription? And because a long time ago we had a disagreement, I tell them that I don't have it. Lord, fix that, Lord. Touch the hearts of the minds of those that have went contrary, those that feel that are in a position to help someone, but because of an old grudge, they refuse to help that brother and sister. Lord, what happened to us? We didn't used to be like that, Lord. We used to be loving, Lord. We used to give our last. We used to be able to give the shirt off our back and do it. Then this is the good thing about it. We're not looking for any type of compensation. But if somebody do something for you nowadays, you got to be careful, because they put you in a position so that they can call a future favor in on you. I'm not saying all people, but there are a lot of people like that. They know that your lawsuit is coming, that all of a sudden they want to come over and take you to the store, take you to the doctor. Why? Because they're going to call in a future favor. But I'm telling you, my brothers and my sisters, we got to love one another more. We have to be able to be in that position so that when the time comes, even when we feel that we've been mistreated, which Matthew, the 5th chapter, say that we're supposed to pray for them that spitefully use us and say all manners of evil against us falsely. Where's the prayers? I don't see no prayers going up. But see, if my brother, my sister, our brothers, our sisters do us wrong one time, they'd have made an enemy for life. God didn't intend it for it to be that way. He wants to love each other with all our might, all our strength, without holding back, despite the fact that I feel that you've done me wrong. All right, now, we're still working in that family. Lord, you got to fix this, because all I can do is just mess it up. It said, why a son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother. Now, I know that people want to have a reason to brag on their children, as opposed to when the news coming on and going to court after our children have done things and broken the law and declare he's a good boy. Children, give your parents a reason to brag on you, to boast on you, to be proud of you. They're proud of you anyway. But give us, and us give our parents an opportunity. Give them a chance to say, that's my boy right there. He just graduated. He's doing this. He's doing some good things. So we're talking, and Lord, you're the one that can fix that, because there's too much jealousy running rampant in our family. Too much animosity running rampant in our family. Lord, you're the only one that can fix it. You're the only one that can do our poor souls any good but thee and thee alone. Now, Colossians, it tells us to say, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Lord, you got to put more forgiveness in our heart, because as I say, when somebody crosses us, we have a lifetime grudge against that person. Lord, I know you didn't intend for us to be like that. You know, we're not supposed to go to bed with our anger on us or with our wrath on us. But Lord, you told us in Colossians that we got to bear with each other. We have to have a better understanding of one another. We got to be not so quick to condemn somebody because they backslid. Because we are all family. We are all up under the same umbrella. We are all brothers and sisters in the faith. So I'm talking about our physical, but I'm also talking about our spiritual family. It's time for us to reach out to that brother, reach out to that sister. It's time for, Lord, let us reconcile. I know that we can't reconcile without you. So, Lord, help us to move ourselves out of the way. Why? Because you're the only one that can fix it. You're the only one that can fix it. What happened to us, Lord? We didn't used to act like this. We didn't used to hate to see people come and love to see them go. It was the other way around. We used to love to see them come and hate to see them go. We used to spend hours just sitting and talking about things. Now, the only family reunions that we're having, and that's at the funeral home. We're not getting together like we should. That's why the other day when Brother Brown, when he announced on the radio, and he said that his sister and his brother-in-law and his niece came here from Amherst, Massachusetts. Might not have said the name right, but it made my heart leap for joy. We should be able to travel hundreds of miles to visit with our sisters and our brothers. But sometimes we got a relative live next door and they ain't set foot in their house in months. Why? Because the dog barking too loud. Why? Because we got a gripe with them. Why? Because we got a beef with them. But God's word says, if you got an ought against your brother, before you bring your gifts to the altar, go and reconcile with him. Lord, you could bring about reconciliation. Lord, don't let us be like Pharaoh when the truth began to come to him and he did just the opposite. His heart began to wax cold. Lord, we're asking that you warm up some of those cold hearts. We're asking that you bring about unity to those that have gone astray, those that have got on the wrong track and continue to go, and they refuse to look back. Lord, we all have done it. Lord, we all done said or cut somebody off because we had either a major disagreement or a minor disagreement with them. Lord, don't let these trivial things, or because you yelled at my son because he's about to jump off the fence and you hurt his feelings. We pick some of the stupidest reasons to have animosity with our family, because there was a time not long ago when discipline was the order of the day, not only for our family and our children, but it was a community, it was a community-wide thing. If a neighbor, a trustworthy neighbor, caught your son or your daughter doing wrong, we gave that neighbor, we gave the teachers the authority to put that child back in line and then bring them to
us. That's right.
Call a double whooping. You know, where you get a whooping and then they bring you home by the ear. Hey, well, I caught your boy in my pear tree. No, don't worry about it, Brother Brown. I'm going to tighten him up. I'm going to give him a good dusting. And see, I didn't understand what they mean by dusting, but if those people from the country, you know, they know that. I'm going to explain it to you. They know that the little kid with the overall used to play out there in the dirt. And then when they did something disobedient and they pulled out that little belt, they had so much dust in their pants, it was just like beating a rug. You know, if you take a rug out and you hit it, dust going to fly everywhere. So that's where you're going to get the dusting come from. So, but that was family, because I refused to see my neighbor's child doing wrong and not say something to him about it. But now we're to put ourselves, our family, we're to put ourselves in that position where as we see or we say something, they say, if you see something, say something. But now, if you say something, you're scared, teacher's scared, because why? Because the repercussions from the arrogant parents. Parents gonna say, you ain't got no business talking to my son like that. You ain't got no business suspending him from school because he keep pulling his girl's pigtails. Because we don't have that family togetherness. Now, I think it was Sister Pledge in the 70s. They come out with the song, "We Are Family."
Mm-hmm.
We got to return to this state of mind. Simon and Garfunkel come out with a song, "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother." It's time for
that's
us.
Right.
Lord, you can fix that. Lord, don't let me turn my back on what is right. Lord, don't let me limit or put a bridle on my tongue, because you told me in your word and you told everybody else, if your brother is wrong, tell them of it. But see, we done modified that statement. We done really took that statement and ran. We don't say if your brother is wrong, tell them of it. We use this. If you see a fool, let him bump his head.
Yeah.
Why would anybody go through the trauma of doing something when I could very easily told them? Now, if I tell them and they do it, then it's on them. But if they,
but if
I neglect to tell them, and then the repercussions, I wouldn't feel right by not telling my brother, my sister, or any of those that have gone straight or gone contrary to what it is that God would have us to do. I just would not feel right. But Lord, all of these things you got that ability to fix it. But see, we know that you're not going to force yourself on anybody. You're going to do the same thing that I did. You told us in your word, you say, watchmen, what of the night did you warn my people of the danger to come? Didn't say, did you take a stick and chase them away? Did you pull a gun on them and threaten to shoot them if they continued it? No, you told us that we warn them, that we blow. If we see trouble coming and we don't blow the bugle, then that's on us. But Lord,
Lord,
I know that we have went contrary, Lord, but you told us also in your word that if my people are called by my name, so see, this family thing, you know, will humble themselves. I'm just condensing it and turn from their wicked ways. Then they hear from heaven, and I will heal their lands. So families, get it together. Fathers, you got a very important role to play in this. Don't do things in front of your kids or let them get word that you're doing things. And then be like King David when Nathan was telling him, Who is that person? That person don't deserve to live for doing that. And he'd say, well, Daddy, I picked up my smoking habit from you, Daddy.
You're a man.
I went to the store and got myself some Colt 45 because it seemed like you enjoy it so much. So we have to be careful. We got to be not a hypocrite. We can't be a hypocrite, but I done gave it a new name. We can't be a hypocrite, nor can we be a lipocrite. Because a lot of us talk and we do things and then we just do the opposite. So we have to be careful because this family, as I say, this family is the most important unit in the spiritual world. Because we need good mothers, we need good fathers, we need good sons, we need good daughters, all to be trained up in the way in which the Lord tells us to go. Now Proverbs 22:6 tells us that we train up in the way in which we should go. And moving right along, Lord, you're the one that can fix this because all I'm doing is messing it up. Children, obey your parents and everything, for this pleases the Lord. Now, Colossians, the 3rd chapter, the 20th verse, tells us that. So, children, you should be up under subjection to your parents. But parents, be right in what you tell them to do. Because I know that there are some that are not going to do what you ask them to do. Some strong young children in the name of the Lord is not going to do what you tell them to do if it's going against the Lord. So we have to make sure that we give them good, wholesome, spiritual advice so they can do what it is that the Lord wants to do. Now, Luke tells us, it said, the Lord says, in the 18th chapter, it said, blessed are the children that come unto me and forbid them not. So don't hinder your children. See, this family, we got to get this together. Because if you notice the example that I gave you about the pandemic and how everybody, they called it cabin fever, everybody was going against each other, but because they've been pent up so much, just look at the news. Turn on the TV and you see all these mass shootings. You see all of these things that's going on. Why? Because that's the residue of being pent up. That's the residue of not being able to, I'm not going to say not being able to, by not using that time that we quarantined to read the Bible, to study the Bible, to have a family study. Now there are some that have 4 or 5 TVs in the house, and everybody watching a different TV or playing on a different device. Now, Brother Brown, I know you remember when the most important part of the day was dinner time. And that's when
that's
everybody
right.
said, and Mama would say, James, how was your day in school today? So show concerns. Oh, Mama, you know, okay, what about you, Janet? What about you, Barbara? What about you, Herbert? So family time was very important, but family time has been eliminated out of our life. Lord,
that's right.
You know, if you go over people's house, I know that my people in North Carolina, I love all of y'all, but I know that if I've come to some of y'all house, I know y'all still got a china cabinet in there somewhere.
That's right.
You know, I know y'all still got silverware, but you go into these modern houses, ain't no dining room nowhere. So I'm just saying that that tradition was the most important time of the day when everybody come together, when daddy ain't too busy, when we sit down and we show some genuine love and concern for one another, and we hashed out our problem at the dinner table. Lord, you're the only one that can fix that. But now you go into your children's room and you find all type of little Caesar pizza boxes, rally wrappers. You find all types of food and all types of things in there because your children, after you're enslaved over that hot stove, wanted something else to eat. I know.
Right.
Whatever Mama cooked, that was not option. You didn't have no option. Didn't talk about I want a burger or I ate over my friend's house. Other than that, hey, you was on your starvation plan until the next day.
That's right.
So I'm just saying we have to be mindful. Lord, fix it, Lord. But the thing about it, Lord, we got to ask you to fix it because this situation ain't going to fix it on its own. We need some spiritual intervention, Lord, because the people, they perish because of lack of knowledge. And we don't know if we need you now more than we ever have, Lord, because this world is wickeder, but it's much wiser. And
Lord,
the only way to get through, and that's to have that family unit working together. Let's work together because I know if you fought one of the Browns, hey, it was another bigger, battle one coming right behind them. So you say, hey, by the time you get to the fifth Brown, hey, you say, forget this. I'm sorry. You want the white flag because, you know, and even if you fight them all and beat them up, you still got the cat and the dog coming at you.
You got that right.
So this family, but see, this family, it projects unity. Now, John, 1 chapter 4, verse, is that I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth.
Mm.
Now, that's a great thing right there, but how can my children walk in the truth if me and my wife are living a lie? I'm married, but I'm just using an example. If me and my wife are living common law, how can they walk in the truth? How can they say that they married to somebody when it has not been that public declaration made at all? So I'm just saying,
just living
we got to go back, have a self-examination, look carefully what happened to us, because somewhere along the way, we got off track. Somewhere along the way, we stopped loving one another. Somewhere along the way, we began to feel that we were better than our brothers and our sisters. Somewhere along the way, our anger overtook us, and we haven't made no reconciliation with our people. Somewhere along the way, jealousy just took over. Somewhere along the way, our friends, our associates, we took their side and they wounded our family. But Lord, you can fix that. It's time for a universal spiritual family reunion. And Lord, you're the only one that can afford it. Lord, we need you in that big and that special way. Lord, remove the animosity out of my heart and let those that have offended me and those that I have offended. In your prayer, Lord, you say, forgive us our trespasses. So those that we have trespassed against, Lord, let us ask for their forgiveness. And those that have that we have offended, let us go to them and reconcile. And those that saying like they rather be bored in awe than to apologize to us. Lord, let us forgive them anyway, because your word says how many times are we supposed to forgive our brother? We got to be careful, because our family unit is in a disintegration stage. It's time for us. But see, Lord, we asking, but we got to bring forth effort on our part, Lord. Lord, what happened to us? Lord, it's got to be a better way than what we're doing. Lord, we would examine it. Let's say some of our political leaders, we'll see that their lifestyle, their childhood. So, Lord, let us pray for them, because it's a cry out for help. But the only thing is that we're not recognizing it. Now, if I had a chance to, now I'm not trying to go political, but I really think that Donald Trump, I need to go down there at Mar-a-Lago, me and some churches, and get that man a great big hug. He needs a hug. if you notice, sometimes the more a person cut up, the more rebellious they come. But I know the sisters in my church, that one of them hug that brother, shoot, he probably sit down and cry like a baby.
That's right.
Because he got a lot of love in those hugs. So may God bless you, and may he ever keep you. Lord, only you can fix it. But give us instructions on how to get this thing together. What happened to us? Amen. I'll now turn you over to the hand of Brother Brown.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Deacon Margaret Cox, for that word on tonight. That was a true word. That was a much-needed word for what the times that we're living in now. You really hit the nail on the head with a lot of the different things that you brought across through this message on tonight, because it's so true. Yes, we do know that only the Lord can fix this situation, because we have too many family members that are not speaking to each other over things that don't really matter. And that's a trick of the enemy, because we got to remember what the Lord's word said. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he's still doing what he does. And he's good at what he does. He said he comes to divide households. He comes to destroy households, marriages, you know, governments that are trying to do what's right, even churches. Families, everything that's trying to be that's good and trying to be good, that's what the enemy comes to destroy. So he's still doing that same thing today. So I love this message on tonight. What happened to us was the porn title. What happened to us? That's a very good question. Then your message was, Lord, you are the only one who can fix it, and that is the fact. That is the truth. But you said it very good, and I like how you brought it forth through the word. We always talking about we love the Lord. Those of us that are saved in Jesus' name, we said we love the Lord, whom we never seen. But the Lord said that you're a lie, and the truth ain't in you. If you said you love the Lord, whom you've never seen, but you can't speak to your own brother. You can't pick up the phone and call your brother, see do they need anything, see what's going on in their lives. Can you, is there anything you need to be praying for them on their behalf for? Do the right thing towards your family. And we have gotten so far off track. It's sad, but it's the truth. And that's what we need to, a reality check and stand up and face the truth. Because we know, I do really hit the nail on the head again, Deacon Bible Class, with this message title. Lord, you are the only one who can fix it. But I thank God that he's searching our hearts. And it's sad when we have children of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, who are holding grudges against one another. Not only the sisters and brothers in Christ, but some of their own family members because of something that happened years ago. And some people have died and went to the grave not forgiving their family members. Some people have died and went to the grave because they don't spend quality time with their families, not only for the ones that are out of town, but the ones, like you said, Deacon Cox, the ones that live in your own city, the ones that live in your own neighborhood. You don't even call them. You don't even knock on the door to check to see do they need anything or how are they. And that's sad. That's not of God. He's not pleased with that. So we know that the Lord can fix it, but we have to open our mouths and be sincere from our hearts when we ask the Lord to help us, you know, correct things with our families. Because God, that's one of his pet peeves, is about the family. He loves family. And that's what he loved, that's what we should love. We should also love our families. We don't always be right all the time. No one is always right. So whether we're right or wrong, we're still supposed to love on our families. We got to learn how to forgive our family members when they do wrong because no one is exempt. We all fall short of the glory of God. That's what his word said. So we thank God for you, Deacon Marvin Cuss, for this word, this powerful and much needed word for such a time as this that we're living in today. And I pray that this word has been received by every listener, whether you dialed in by phone or whether you're listening through social media platforms. This message on tonight was for you. Examine yourself. How are you dealing with your family? Are you loving on them? Are you holding grudges? And are you not forgiving someone in your family because of some mediocre thing that happened years ago and that should have been squashed a long time ago? But that's, again, that's a trick of the enemy. But we rebuke that demon. We rebuke that liar, the father of lies, Satan. So we're going to stand on the promises of God. When we forgive others, then the Lord will be able to forgive us. That's what his word said. So right now, the phone lines are open for anyone that's listening in on tonight. Whether you have a question for Deacon Marvin Cox pertaining to tonight's word, or if you have a word of encouragement for him, you have an opportunity to do so now. I see a lot of people have already signed off that they had dialed in earlier, but a lot of them have already signed off. But that's all right as well. We thank God for them for taking the time out to listen. We pray that you were blessed by this word on tonight. And this word was for all of us, not just Deacon Marvin Custer, not just for me. It was for all of us, all of God's children. Anyone have a verse, any words of encouragement for Deacon Cox? The lines are open.
Yes, you did it again, Deacon Cox.
Thank you.
That was we needed that.
Amen.
Like you said, yes, like you said, it's a whole lot of us out there. Like James said, they went to the grave not forgiving family members. So I thank you again for that service, and I hope you and your wife is doing fine.
Okay, I thank you. I receive that.
Amen. That was Sister Mary Ann King from Greensboro, North Carolina. And I like what you said, Deacon Marvin Cox, because, you know, a lot of family members still have what you call those china cabinets in their homes. Some people don't know what a china cabinet is, but I remember down in North Carolina when I would go visit my aunt Maggie May and Aunt May now, Mary Ann's mother and Norman's mother, and our family members down there, they have china cabinets. We have kind of cabinets in our homes here in Detroit. And so a lot of people are familiar with those china cabinets. So you just brought a little thing to the forefront as to how important different things are and how family members don't even sit around the table and eat the same meals together anymore because the kids don't want what the mother cooked. They want something different. Like you said, the kids are going in different rooms eating McDonald's or Burger King or Wendy's or Pizza Hut because they don't want to eat what mama cooked and slaved over the hot stove to cook. So they don't want that. But like you said, back in the day, if you didn't eat what mama cooked, you just didn't eat that at all that day. And family members don't sit around the table and talk about what happened in their lives and their situations like they used to do, commune with one another and fellowship with one another around the dinner table like they used to do. So this word of tonight was, Lord, you are the only one who can fix it. So we thank you again, Deacon Marvin Cox, for that word. Thank you, Sister Mary Ann, for that powerful words of encouragement for Deacon Marvin Cox. And we thank God for every listener that dialed in, even though some of them have dialed or have been off the line because we are out of time. But Deacon Marvin Cox, I just want to say to you, you continue to keep up the great work. You've done a great work in the Lord through sharing his word. So we're going to continue to pray for you and Betty Cox that God will continue to touch and heal and strengthen both of your bodies, that you will be healed and delivered and set free, that God will get the glory. So now we're going to close out in prayer as we always do. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that has gone forth on tonight through your man of God, Deacon Marvin Cox. We know that this word has not gone out void. It is going to accomplish everything that you set out for it to do because you know who's listening, whether they dialed in tonight by phone and have run off the line or whether they're listening through social media platforms. Your word is true. You said your word would never go out void. It's going to accomplish everything that you set out for it to do. So you know who's listening. You know what we all stand in need of. And you know how, who and what we need to do to mend our families back together according to your word that you will be glorified. So we thank you for your word through Deacon Marvin Cox tonight. Consider having blessed this worldwide ministry platform. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will move by your spirit on tomorrow and every door that's going to be open in Jesus' name, whether it's in person or through social media platforms, that you will speak through your people that's going to bring forth your word on tomorrow, that souls will be saved, that they will receive your word on tomorrow, souls will be saved, backsliders come back to the fold, and that those that are in the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified on tomorrow, that you alone will get the glory. It's our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, once again, know that I love you, but guess what? God loves you even more. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.